This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neal Conan. Residents of New Orleans are gradually being allowed back into that city, and as the city assesses the damage left by Hurricane Katrina, the people who live there and city leaders face the daunting task of rebuilding. The higher parts of New Orleans, which include the well-known French Quarter, escaped with minor damage, but the city's lower Ninth Ward was hit hard. Sandwiched between Lake Pontchartrain and the Mississippi River, the lower Ninth was severely flooded when the levees that protect New Orleans were breached, first by Hurricane Katrina and again by Hurricane Rita. Of the 20,000 or so mostly African Americans who lived in the lower Ninth, a third lived below the poverty line. About half of the residential housing was rental property, and crime was rampant. This past weekend, firefighters put red tags on thousands of homes thought to be unsafe. And last week, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Alfonso Jackson advised Mayor Ray Nagin against rebuilding the lower Ninth Ward. But advocates for the lower Ninth point out that it had one of the highest home ownership rates in the city. Its shotgun and camelback houses reflect a rich architectural heritage. Desire, the street made famous in the Tennessee Williams play, runs through the ward, which was home to many artists and musicians. And generations of families and neighbors have been woven together in a close-knit community separated from the glitz and revelry of the nearby French Quarter. Today on our program, we examine what should become of the lower Ninth Ward. Should it be bulldozed and its residents transplanted, or can it be recreated in a new form? If you have questions about the Lower Ninth Ward, we invite you to join the conversation. We especially want to hear from any residents of the Lower Ninth Ward listening today. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Later in the show, we'll check in on the latest on the Iraqi Constitution. But first, should the Lower Ninth Ward be rebuilt? And we turn first to Craig Colton, a professor of geography at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he joins us by phone from his office there. Thanks, Professor Colton. Good to have you.
My pleasure, Lynn.
I wonder if you could give us a sort of geographical tour of the Ninth Ward, and why is the Lower Ninth so much more vulnerable? Maybe you can explain that for us.
Well, the Lower Ninth Ward is in a separate set of levees than what we don't call the Upper Ninth Ward, but what is effectively the Upper Ninth Ward. The Upper Ninth Ward had some extensive flooding during Hurricane Betsy in 65, as did the Lower Ninth Ward. And both those areas came back. It showed tremendous resilience. The water wasn't too deep. And the reason the Lower Ninth Ward suffered so much is because it is in the separate set of levees. The levees broke and allowed water into that one ring of levees, and it didn't allow as much water into there was some water, but not as much into the area upstream from there.
I guess I'm just trying to understand this when we refer to the Lower Ninth and the rest of the ward. Are we really talking to an area that is downhill from the upper part? And maybe you can just explain that to us a little bit more clearly for those of us who are not familiar with the area.
There's terminology in New Orleans that helps people define their relationship to the river. Lower means downstream. So the Lower Ninth Ward is literally downstream from the French Quarter. The area immediately adjacent to the river is slightly higher ground topographically, and the land actually slopes away from the river back towards Lake Pontchartrain to the north. So topographically, the lower areas are away from the rivers, but we refer to the lower as the downstream area.
Yeah. Now, as you mentioned, this is not the first time that this neighborhood has experienced severe flooding. What exactly did happen in 1965 after Hurricane Betsy?
There was considerable flooding on both sides of the industrial canal, which basically splits the lower Ninth Ward from the upper Ninth Ward. And there was water 8 or 9 feet high in parts of the Ninth Ward. We did a survey of an area upstream from the lower Ninth Ward, and some 75% of the housing stock there was still in a very viable condition 2 years ago. There were people down looking at parts of the lower Ninth Ward yesterday or the day before, and they found a remarkable architectural integrity in that neighborhood after this storm, at least the areas that didn't have deep water.
Mm-hmm.
So there's considerable parts of the Ninth Ward that the discussion for demolition really shouldn't even apply. There are parts that it suffered tremendous damage. So there's great variation within the lower Ninth Ward.
Now, what are the chances that the flooding that we saw as a result of Hurricane Katrina and then as a result of Hurricane Rita, what are the chances that this kind of flooding will happen in that area again?
That kind of flooding could occur in any part of New Orleans in the future. There were some neighborhoods that were extremely lucky this time, and it's all a matter of which way the winds were blowing and which levees broke first. But I think to prevent severe loss of life and property, some of the lowest areas should probably be converted to flood retention basins. They should be open green space, and they could then collect water in the event of a future flood rather than it collecting in someone's living room.
When you say some, define that term. How many houses would we be talking? How many people would be affected by that?
That I can't say. I haven't gone and looked at the air photos and done a count of the houses.
But we're talking about a considerable number of people, I would presume, would be affected by that.
There would be a considerable number, yes. And I think in any effort to open some areas up to green space, we also need to take considerable care to help those people transplant themselves to safer ground. There would be no greater tragedy than to put them back in harm's way again.
And so part of the concern for people who are raising these kinds of questions is, Even if you did rebuild that area, it might actually be dangerous for people to live there.
Yes, yes. And parts of it, not so much. But some parts of it, there will be a hazard. They won't be able to finish an improved levee system for 15 or 20 years. So there'll be considerable risk as they rebuild the levee system.
So it's possible to make the area secure, but it's going to take a long time. Is that the issue? Or?
Well, I think we can make it more secure, but there still is a risk of flooding in the future, and that's why I think some of these areas should actually be devoted to flood retention bases as opposed to residential land uses.
And then flood retention bases would also help the situation in the rest of the city?
I think we should have those throughout the city. Wherever there is really, really low ground, those kind of land uses should be encouraged and restrict people to living on the intermediate elevations and the higher elevations within the city.
We are talking about the future of the Ninth Ward, especially the lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans, the pros and cons of whether or not it should be rebuilt. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 800-989-8255. And we're going to go to Jill, and she's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, my question is, can they fill in the areas that are too low, like with some sand and gravel and then some topsoil, to bring them into a situation where they'd be in less risk?
In other words, raise that area.
Mm-hmm. Some probably not, because some of those areas have subsided over the years. They were once at sea level, and when the city built levees and drained the groundwater, that land subsided. And some of that land over very peaty soil, if you add too much weight to it, it'll just continue sinking. And so you could just put endless quantities of dirt in some of those areas, and it would just sink below sea level once again. Other areas sit on top of ancient subterranean barrier islands or ancient beach ridges. And those areas are pretty stable. And so some of those areas you could possibly raise. So
maybe a combination of raise some of the areas, and then the areas that it's not feasible to raise, then make those the flood basins.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
I would gather, however, Professor Colton, that you would think that would not be a particularly good idea, that it doesn't ultimately solve the environmental problem that's there.
No, I think it doesn't eliminate the flood risk. We've created a great false sense of security by building the levees, and if we raise part of that land, that simply puts greater reliance on the structural means of protecting the city. And I think we need to kind of keep people aware that there is a flood risk, and by having wetlands and flood retention basins within the city limits, I think that message remains clear over the long haul after people forget Katrina.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Professor Colton.
My pleasure.
Craig Colton is a geography professor at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And to get a sense of what it was like to live in the lower Ninth Ward, we turn now to one of its longtime residents, Pam Dashiell. She is the president of the Holy Cross Neighborhood Association, and she joins us by phone from a friend's home in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, have you been in touch with neighbors and friends and other Ninth Ward residents?
Since the hurricane, I've been in touch with a great number of Ninth Ward residents. We through email and phone and letters. It's a very tight-knit community, and you know, we were all fairly devastated by what happened.
And what are you hearing from these people for the most part? Do they want to go back? Do they believe that their community can be rebuilt?
To a person, everyone who I have talked to wants to return and wants some kind of independent analysis to see whether it can be rebuilt.
What do you mean by independent analysis? You know, there is a commission that's been appointed by the mayor to look into issues around rebuilding the city. Are you satisfied with that commission, or you want something more than that?
I'd like to see something more. The commissioners, it appears anyway, with the best will in the world, are not objective. We'd like to see objective standards applied. To see what can be rebuilt and what can't be rebuilt, what is salvageable, what is not salvageable. It's a great community, and we want it back.
Have you been able? You haven't been able to go back in yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
So, do you have any idea about your own home and your own neighborhood? What the situation is there? Do you know anything about it yet?
Oh yes, a friend passed by my house a couple of weeks ago. He was able to. Actually, I'm not sure how he got in, but he got in. And he said that I got about 5 feet of water inside the house.
Okay. Ms. Dashiel, if you can stay with us, we're going to continue our conversation about the future of New Orleans, Lower Ninth Ward, and we'll be talking with you more. And if you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 800-989-TALK. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. We're talking about the future of New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward and how best to rebuild it after the floods of Hurricane Katrina. And we'd like to hear from residents of the Ninth Ward, as well as business owners. What do you think is needed to rebuild your community? To join the conversation, call us at 800-989-TALK or send us an email to totn@npr.org. And my guest is Pam Dashiel. She's the president of the Holy Cross Neighborhood Association in the Lower Ninth Ward. And Ms. Dashiel, tell us something about the Holy Cross neighborhood. I understand it's a very historic area. What's it like?
Well, it is on the National Register of Historic Districts, both local and national. It's a wonderful place. It's got an eclectic mix of styles, of architectural styles. The homes range from, about, 40 or 50 years old to 150 years old. And it's got a very country feel. It's right on the levee of the Mississippi River and the Industrial Canal. And it's the kind of place where people play all day. People run and walk and bicycle, and their children out there kite flying. It's extremely well used.
And you said there's a very strong sense of community, of connectedness among the people.
Mm-hmm. The area has had some problems in the past with people leaving and with abandoned houses and crime and all the problems that really beset any urban area. But the people in the Ninth Ward, people in Lower Nine and Holy Cross, have been working furiously to make those problems, to make them go away. There are all kinds of organizations. There are almost 100 churches just in Lower Nine, and many of them have community development corporations. The Holy Cross Neighborhood Association with the Preservation Resource Center has had rebuilding projects and programs and helping the elderly to repair their homes. there are all kinds of initiatives. There was all kind of activity. People loved our the neighborhood.
Ms. Dashiell, I just want to ask you something that our first guest, Professor Colton, raised, an issue that he raised. And that is, he said that to repair the levees could take as long as 15 years and that, in fact, it could be dangerous to people for them to live in that in the areas, again, that are most vulnerable to flooding, that this flooding could occur again. You could rebuild it and then the flooding occurs. I wonder what your reaction is to that and what your concerns are with regard to that.
Well, as I understand it, much of the damage occurred because of breaks within the flood walls.
That's right, within the levees.
Right, the structures themselves.
Right, and the professor was saying it could take maybe 15 years to repair that completely or to build it up again so that it's really safe against these huge hurricanes.
But it was also due to the storm surge coming up the Mississippi River Gulf outlet. If that were closed, okay, that's a little used channel. If the industrial canal could close, that's also little used. I think people in their neighborhoods are as important as commerce. I think that we really have to look at what our priorities are. The canal has, I don't know, from what I've read, maybe 25% less traffic than it had, say, 10 years ago. Find alternate routes.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go to a call now from Jennifer, and she is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I live in the what people have been calling the Upper Ninth Ward or Bywater, and I just want to express my solidarity with Pam. I think that people aren't having the same conversations about the Lakeview neighborhood, which was completely washed out as well, and the people that live in the Lower Ninth Ward realize that there's a danger of flooding. There's a danger of flooding throughout the whole city. But, there's a lot of dangerous places to live in the United States. And I think that if the geographer that was talking earlier was talking about his own community, he wouldn't be so quick to let it return to wetlands.
Yeah. There's some very complex issues here. When you say there's a lot of people living in areas of the United States that are very dangerous, that's true, although this was the largest catastrophe, really, that most of us can remember, one of the largest for sure, and people are worried that something like that could happen again, but it sounds like that you're not worried about that? You think they can deal with it?
I'm definitely worried about it, but I don't think the people that live in the Lower Ninth Ward are children. I mean, I think they can make that decision on their own, and if they're willing to take that risk, I don't think that anybody else should be able to stop them. In addition, I'd like to say to Ms. Dashiell that the people I live on Poland Avenue, which is the street right before the canal, and those are my neighbors, and I don't want them to go. My neighborhood was not flooded, and I feel for the people in the Lower Ninth Ward, and I just wonder why we're not having the same conversation about Lakeview.
Well, we are going to have a member of Mayor Nagin's commission, Bring New Orleans Back commission on. We're going to have a couple more guests, and you know what? I will address that question to them. You're asking, why some of these other neighborhoods are not being discussed. Is that what you're saying?
Right, neighborhoods that are just as vulnerable or in some cases perhaps more vulnerable.
Okay. Let's. Thanks so much for your question, and we'll be asking that question of some other guests who are about to join us. As a matter of fact, Scott Cowan, president of Tulane University, is on the line now, and he is a member of Mayor Nagin's Bring New Orleans Back Commission. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
I don't know if you just heard that last caller. Did you, Mr. Cowan?
I just heard the latter part of her comment.
She is somebody who lives in the upper part of the Ninth Ward. Her neighborhood wasn't flooded, but she was expressing solidarity with our guest, Pam Dashiell, who's still on the line with us from the Lower Ninth Ward, saying that they would like to see it rebuilt. And that listener raised an interesting question, which she said, why are they discussing the possibility that the Lower Ninth should not be rebuilt when there are other neighborhoods that were just as vulnerable and will be just as vulnerable in the future? Is there more than one neighborhood being considered that it should not be, money should not be put into rebuilding it? Or is the focus really just on the lower ninth in terms of that? Well,
ironically, most of the people who are talking about the ninth ward are people outside of New Orleans.
Right.
Those of us who are in New Orleans haven't singled out the ninth ward or any other area for particular treatment. I think people have to be sensitive that the ninth ward is not a parking lot. Real people live there with schools and neighbors and shops, and they have to be treated with the same dignity and sensitivity as anybody else in New Orleans. And I think one of the things that is frustrating for many of us in New Orleans is to hear those in the press, in the media outside, talk about the ninth ward as it's some faceless plot of land someplace. And I can assure you the commission itself is going to be sensitive to all parts of the parish, regardless of how much damage they might have been by this particular storm.
All right. Well, that may be reassuring for you to hear, Pam Daschle.
Yes, it really is. But the people, I believe that the people of Lower Nine and Lakeview and whatever other neighborhoods that were affected need to be absolutely involved and made aware of what's going on in this process. People who are in New Orleans, people who are now in Birmingham, people who are in Boston. We're scattered all over the place, but we must be involved in the planning and the implementation of what happens, and we need to be involved at each and every step because there are issues of trust, and I guess that's really not been addressed. But, again, it seems that some of the commissioners are the folks who were running things before and who perhaps didn't run them as well as they could have done.
Well, Pam Daschle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
It's been great talking with you.
Okay.
Pam Daschle is a resident of the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans, and she's president of the Holy Cross Neighborhood Association. And Scott Cowan, as a member of the Bring Back New Orleans Back Commission, how are you going to look at these very vulnerable neighborhoods? Yes, we've been focusing on the Lower Ninth, but there are other vulnerable neighborhoods in New Orleans that could be prone to flooding in the future. Questions have been raised about whether it makes sense to rebuild some of those areas that are so vulnerable. How are you starting to deal with those kinds of issues?
Let me talk a little bit about the commission's work, what our charge is, and how we're going to organize ourselves. We've been asked by the mayor to assist him in developing a vision and master plan for the future of New Orleans. He's also asked us that this become a very inclusive process for the very reasons Pam just stated on the phone call. That is, even though there are 17 of us on this commission, we will wind up setting up a very, very large committee structure with members from all segments of the community represented on those committees as we look at various aspects of the city. And we're not going to organize ourselves by geographic area, so there's not going to be a committee for the Ninth Ward or for Lakeview or for Uptown or CBD. Instead, what we're going to do is take a generic set of areas that apply to everybody, like education, housing, levees, infrastructure, cultural amenities, right down through the list, and begin to say, how should we be thinking about rebuilding our city along each of these dimensions? And then getting input from everybody that we possibly can through our committee structure. So our focus is not going to be on one particular area versus another. It's really going to be on all the generic services and activities that touch everybody in our city. And I want to assure Pam and anybody who might be listening, the spirit of this as we go into it is inclusiveness. And even though there's 17 commissioners, we will be working with, I think by the time it's over, hundreds and hundreds of people represented from all walks of life in New Orleans.
Yeah. If there are areas where a lot of homes, in fact, have to be bulldozed or razed, how are you going to go about sort of making decisions about compensation for people and where those people might move to if they want to stay in New Orleans, where they might move to another part of the city? How do you begin to reconstruct a city when there may be some areas that you can't rebuild what's there?
Well, I think the first thing is we go into the dialogue without any presumption of what has to be done one way or another. For example, it's very important that this commission do a sort of a fact-based analysis of the situation, not based on what people conjecture should happen in one particular area versus another. So I think one of the first things we'll do is to get a real sense of what has been the damaged areas, what's the extent of that damage, and what would be necessary to bring those areas back to the kinds of conditions either they had before the storm or improved conditions thereafter. As we go through that process, we will deal with a lot of very sensitive issues about land use. And we will have to go through the normal political processes to get answers to those questions. So this commission doesn't have authority to do whatever it thinks it should be doing. It is simply advisory to the mayor, and then the mayor will take that to the elected officials through city council and others to vet those ideas and decide how we should make some of those hard decisions. But the commission itself won't do that. But whatever we do, I can guarantee you, will be fact-based, and it will be based on retaining what is the very best of New Orleans, and there's considerable assets and resources in New Orleans that have to be retained.
My guest is Scott Cowan. He's a member of Mayor Nagin's Bring New Orleans Back Commission, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we're going to take a call now from Yvonne in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Hi, good afternoon. First of all, let me say that I have lived in the lower Ninth Ward basically all my life. I moved there when I was 5 with my family, and my whole family has lived there. And my entire time of living there, this is the first time my house ever got any water, and my mom tells me that it was under 9 feet of water. So I think people also have to remember that, you know, for a lot of us, this is a first-time thing. Even though we live in a flood-prone area, this is a first-time thing. My question is, my parents, they're moving away. They're not coming back, and most of my relatives are not coming back, and this is really sad to us because, you know, New Orleans is home, and people don't usually like to leave New Orleans. We like to stay, you know, localized there. But is it livable? How toxic is it? We've heard things like brownout. Talking to some of my friends who also live there, they're talking about the insurance companies in the city talking about buying the land or and browning it out for a period of time until it is livable. I just would like to know what's going on with that.
If I could comment about
that. Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Yvonne, I go in and out of the city all the time now because of my business at Tulane University. The first thing is I think the environmental health issues that you're referring to and we hear many times on the TV and read about in the newspaper are greatly exaggerated. There has been no breakout whatsoever in infectious diseases in New Orleans during the most dire part of this, which is really the last 5 weeks. And as every day goes by, whatever environmental issues do exist are being addressed. So I think over the next weeks and months, I think we could be all assured that from an environmental point of view, it will be a very healthy place to live in. Doesn't mean if somebody suffers from severe asthma and mold will get to them that that won't be a problem for them. But I think environmentally, I think the city is clearly on the road to identifying and addressing those issues. And the fact that there has been no widespread infectious disease at all there is a sign of encouragement for all of us.
All right.
The second thing I think we all ought to, you know, and listen, I wasn't born and raised in New Orleans, but New Orleans is a state of mind and a state of heart, and it has my mind and heart, and I love it just as much as I think you do. I think people's first reaction after that storm is, I don't want to come back. It's not the old New Orleans. I don't want to go through another hurricane again. But I think as they watch the recovery process progress and see their neighborhoods come back, see their stores come back, see the restaurants come back, I think those that even initially said they don't want to come back will begin to come back again. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen overnight, but I do believe over 1, 3, 5 years we'll see our population build up again. And if we could address some of the issues we had even before the storm, as you know, we had terrible issues with K-12 education, public education. Here's an opportunity to take a clean piece of paper and redo K-12 and maybe make it a model for public education in America. That, I think, will be a very strong magnet for young people to come back who have children.
Right.
Same thing with housing. We had issues with housing before. There was a lot of blighted housing. This may be an opportunity to address those issues. So I'm optimistic that if we can identify the problems and really address them quickly And constructively, that will be the magnet to get your parents, to get you, and to get others to come back to our city.
Mr. Cowan, thanks so much for joining us. And Yvonne, thanks so much for your question. Scott Cowan is president of Tulane University and a member of Mayor Nagin's Bring New Orleans Back Commission. When we come back from a short break, we're going to continue our discussion about the future of New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. Today, we're talking about the future of New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward and what it might take to rebuild that community. And determining what to do with the Ninth Ward won't be easy for residents or city leaders, as we've just heard. There are technical and physical factors to consider, as well as emotional and social ones. For more on these complexities, we turn to Christina Ford. She's the former director of city planning in New Orleans, and she now teaches environmental studies at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. And she joins us from her home in Maine. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Lynn.
Now, I guess when we start talking about rebuilding any part of New Orleans, and as we've heard from one of the commissioners on Mayor Nagin's Bring Back New Orleans Commission, they're going to be looking at the whole city. But in talking about an area like the Ninth Ward, the Lower Ninth Ward, do you have to distinguish between rebuilding, thinking rebuilding as is, or recreating or creating a whole new place?
Well, Lynn, I was actually very heartened to listen to Scott talk about the way that this commission is going to look at the problem, because I think there is something to distinguish between simply trying to recreate the physical entity that was the Lower Ninth Ward and trying to rebuild what was the spirit that was held there. And I think it could be that the engineering difficulties in the Lower Ninth Ward are too great to overcome. I mean, I have thought that perhaps one thing that we could do now that nature seems to have cleared it away is to put fill in there so that it's as high as, say, the French Quarter, in which case we could build on top of it and it would stay dry as the French Quarter did. But if that's not feasible, I'm not an engineer, so I don't know if it is or not, but if that's not feasible, then I think that the way that Scott was describing what the commission is going to do was very impressive. New Orleans is indeed a city of families. I listened to Lynn, who just spoke,
Yvonne, I think it was.
Yvonne, mm-hmm. who spoke to you from Charlotte. And what she said I thought was really true of the city, that there are families that stay there, and the Ninth Ward isn't just a bunch of buildings in which discrete people lived. It was a bunch of buildings in which people who were tied together, sometimes by family ties, certainly by what they have gone through together in the past years, are joined together. What I think is important, and what I thought Scott was talking about, was trying to make a place where those same people can come together, and that it doesn't actually matter if they live in the precise physical location, as long as what we have done is to recreate the kind of society that gave New Orleans so much of its diverse richness.
Now, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the politics of this, the politics of New Orleans, and how that's going to affect all this.
Well, I think the politics of this are, it's very important that all the people who have a stake in the future of the city get to have some participation. I was very charmed by Scott saying that it would be an inclusive process, and he talked about planning. I can tell you that I was the head of city planning until 2000, and the year before I left, we adopted a land use plan for the city, so that the community has had a pretty thoroughgoing conversation about how it wants itself to grow in the future. Some of that has changed. I mean, we no longer have some problems. They have been swept away. But it's a place where they can start. And I think the politics of it are that the people who spent so much time in coming up with a plan for what they wanted in the future of New Orleans, that those people are involved still, and that the people who are elected to lead them listen to what they have to say. But as I said, I was very heartened by listening to what Scott said, and particularly heartened to know that the commission doesn't believe that they, the 17 of them, can together come up with a plan for New Orleans. That instead, he talked about having hundreds of people participate.
Yeah.
And
just,
you know, Scott is an academic, and so he's used to doing a lot of reading, and there's a lot of reading to be done about what people have said and thought about the future there.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure.
Christina Ford is the former director of city planning in New Orleans, and she joined us from her home in Maine.